Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said to his disciples, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot hear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has in mind. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let us pray. Lord, open our ears that we may hear the words that you have for each of us this morning. And open our hearts to receive the grace by which you have brought us here together for reasons we may not yet fully understand. Help us, Lord, to bow before mysteries. To acknowledge what we don't yet know, but is so real and so true. And then let us be inspired as witnesses to share with others a mystery that goes beyond what we could ask or imagine. We pray this in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. By way of introduction, I am Martin Yabroff. As you see in the bulletin, I am thrilled to be with you. This is very exciting. I retired last November from 14 years, as the world, especially here in the Northwest, may not understand, may even deny or be offended by. As human beings, all of us, whatever our beliefs, wherever our journeys, all of us are spiritual as well as physical and emotional beings. And we all have spiritual experiences, some sense or experience of mysteries beyond our understanding and control of God, of a higher power, perhaps of God's love through the person of Jesus Christ. Now, what is prompting these musings for me about this mystery is that today is Trinity Sunday. In the church calendar, after we have celebrated Christmas, Easter, and Pentecost, the feasts of God loving us, God Jesus being with us, and the Holy Spirit moving among us, as you explored last Sunday on Pentecost, the Sunday after Pentecost is traditionally observed as Trinity Sunday. It is a time to celebrate the mystery of God in three persons, yet of one substance, in community together. The notion of the Trinity reflects our varied spiritual experiences and our varied sensitivities, and it guides us to embrace diversity. Our diversity is a reflection of this Trinity. It's not just one thing, but all of it together. An early church teacher, Gregory of Nyssa, said that the Trinity is a notion to remind us that God is not a singular personality, easily boxed, explained, or controlled. God is beyond us. God is with us. God is within us. All these are aspects of our experience of God. Now, I find it rather daunting to be preaching on Trinity Sunday here at St. Barnabas. For you have a reputation of being theologically astute. See, I know Karen, and I came to the diocese when Dennis came. You're sharp people, called sharp rectors. And you're rather sophisticated. And I should therefore be bringing you profound explorations of Trinitarian doctrine. But I'm not that kind of preacher. Just as I am As you see, I will not be chanting any part of our Eucharistic liturgy out of kindness, I suppose. You will appreciate that. But here's a story about the Trinity. It's attributed to St. Augustine of Hippo. St. Augustine, the African bishop and theologian of the early 5th century, spent many years writing about God as a Trinity of persons, a mystery which both consumed his attention and yet eluded his understanding. So the story goes, he was walking by the seaside one day, meditating on the Trinity, how God could be one essence and yet at the same time three persons. And he came onto a little child. The child had dug a small hole in the sand and with a seashell was scooping water from the ocean and pouring it into the hole. Augustine watched him for a little while and finally asked the child what he was doing. The child answered that he wanted to scoop all the water from the sea and pour it into the hole in the sand. Augustine felt impelled to correct the child. "That is impossible," Augustine said. "The sea is too large and the hole is too small." And now it was the child who was impelled to correct Augustine. The child said, "That is true, but I will sooner draw all the water from the sea and empty it into this hole than you will succeed in penetrating the mystery of the Holy Trinity with your limited understanding." Augustine turned away in amazement, and when he looked back, the child had disappeared. Augustine had been put in his place. Not a bad place, but simply in a place of recognition that he too, like us, are each a child of God, a God whom he would mysteriously experience but never fully understand. Well, we gather in church to bow down before mysteries that we do not understand, to celebrate and to be humbled, and to encourage one another in our various journeys of faith, empowered by remembering and in companionship with the mystery of holiness. Our lessons this morning, you may have noticed, are all particularly brief. That may have been pleasant also. Maybe they are pointers rather than explanations for us this morning. So what mysteries, let us consider, are being pointed to that we need to hear where we each are in our own journeys? Our first lesson from Proverbs presents the wisdom of God personified as a beautiful woman. She appears in many places, on the heights, beside the way, at the crossroads. That is, we encounter her everywhere. This wisdom is standing beside God and involved in all parts of the aspects of creation. She acts, according to the scripture, like a master worker, carrying out the plans of the designer. Well, we find at the end of this lesson, this description of the marvel of God in all sorts of aspects, we find at the end of this lesson something unexpected and beautiful. Wisdom says, "I was daily God's delight, rejoicing before God always, rejoicing in God's inhabited world, and delighting in the human race." Delighting in the human race, in all of us. The relationship between creation, which includes every one of us, the relationship between creation and God is one of mutual delight. God's delight in us, in you and me, and in all of creation, is at the heart of the mystery of God, that God delights in us. The familiar gospel verse, "For God so loved the world," you've heard that verse, most of you, can also be translated, "For God so delighted in the world that God sent God's only Son." Our God, the God of the Bible, does not look upon any one of us with judgment or with disappointment or with anger. God looks upon each one of us with love. God delights in each of us, just as we are. Even when you don't feel, or I don't feel or act so delightfully ourselves, God delights in us. God sees us. Now, to hear and to understand our epistle lesson, to build on this from Romans, we need to remember that faith is not a matter of believing the right doctrine, or thinking the right thoughts, or of proclaiming the right words. That's what faith tends to be seen as in this secular world. You have to believe this. You have to have the right faith, say the right words, do the right thing. Faith is really a matter, and any more than people would say that the Trinity is a concept to be analyzed or dissected. Faith is really about relationship. It's a matter of trust. We put our faith in something. We trust. We trust God. So as Paul says, we are justified by our faith, our trust, our relationship with God and with Jesus. That's how we are justified. That's how we find our place in the world, in relationships, with ourselves, that we are delighted in, we are justified, we are in relationship with this God who knows us far better than we dare admit, and still loves us, and still knows us, and still cares for us. Faith is about relationship, and relationships, including loving ones, even long marriages, and including the relationship of fatherhood and of parenting generally, all relationships involve suffering as well as joy. It just is what it is. Paul reminds us that we grow in faith, in relationship, not only through joy, but also through suffering, through challenges, through enduring, hanging in there when life is tough, because God said he'd always be with us. He never said it'd always be easy. The 23rd Psalm doesn't say, if by some unlikely prospect you end up in the valley of the shadow of death, it says, when you and I end up there, we won't be alone. And that will help us to persevere. And through our persevering and our endurance, our character can be deepened and matured, not just, well, everything's fine, but we come to know, yes, there's something real with us, with God, in this relationship. And that helps us. And with that mature character develops hope. A hope which is not simply optimism, it's all going to work out. We know it's not. It's not expecting specific results. We're not in control of most everything. But it's based in relationship and in experience and in trusting and being part of mysteries beyond ourselves that indeed tend to turn out better than we could have asked or imagined. And all this forming and growing in faith is ultimately a gift, because God's love is being poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. We haven't earned it or deserved it or made it happen, but God's love is poured onto us, drenching us. And that's a mystery as well. Now, in our gospel, Jesus acknowledges that we don't yet understand such mysteries, and that is okay. We grow in understanding as God's Holy Spirit guides us, now seeing through a glass dimly, and then coming to see more and more. I've always, to me, my favorite image of faith is looking through a telescope. And at first, it's not in focus, and you sort of see very vaguely what you're looking at. And then you begin to focus and say, oh, That's what I see. And then you focus a little more. Oh, that's what I see. That's how I've come to grow in faith. It's not that I didn't know and then I did, but it's that I'm coming to understand more and more what God is about, who Jesus could be in my life, how the Holy Spirit is present in ways I didn't realize. So we grow in faith. We grow in understanding. It's like children beginning with simple food. And we need simple food at first, but then we mature and we take on more complex or nuanced food or understanding. Meanwhile, we walk the paths that we're on. And we encourage one another in living the mysteries of God and of life, such as they are. These are marvelous mysteries for pondering on Trinity Sunday. The mystery that God delights in you and in me, such as we are, knowing us better than we dare admit to ourselves. That God delights in you. That we are justified, have place and standing in the world, in this life, even that we can be justified in our own skin, simply through our relationship with God, simply through remembering that God is with us, cares for us, loves us, by virtue of the grace, the gift of God with us. It's not that we have to justify ourselves. It's not that we have to prove ourselves. It's that we have to say, oh, you really do like me. It's true. For each of us, God likes you. And the encouragement is there that there is much we don't know or understand, but that we shall continue to grow in faith and in love, in understanding and in service, even beyond we can request. I'd like to offer, winding up, a suggestion for some reading about the mystery of God, some reading that will surprise and delight you. As it is me, I'm in my second of three books by a Jesuit priest by the name of Gregory Boyle. Now, Gregory Boyle is a Jesuit living in Los Angeles who founded Homeboy Industries. It's the largest gang intervention, rehabilitation, and reentry program in the world. As I said, he has three books and a number of talks and interviews that you can find on the internet. The first book is subtitled, The Power of Boundless Compassion. Boundless Compassion. And the third is subtitled, The Power of Extravagant Tenderness. And his insight, which is utterly biblical and spiritually grounded, is that we are all good. And God delights in every one of us. We forget who we are. We get lost in trauma and in pain, as so many of the people he works with in the gangs of LA and around the world. And we can help one another to discover the dignity and glory of who we are, of being who we already are as beloved children of God. And this mystery of God's delight in every one of us, no matter what's happened, no matter what happened before or what will happen in the future. This mystery is simple and therefore very hard to grasp. But he's a storyteller and he speaks out of his own experience, and I commend his work and his witness to you as challenging theological reading. Because you read it and you say, well, that can't be, that couldn't be. And then you read what he says and says, yeah, can't argue with it. The early Christians referred to the gospel and to our liturgical worship as mysteries. Let us marvel this morning at the mysteries as we hear them and as we participate through the sacrament of Holy Communion in bread and wine, that we may show forth the glory and the love of God more and more in this secular Northwest community, which desperately needs such good news, such pointers and reminders that it's not just all of the facts and figures, but there's more going on. Let us be witnesses as we are able, pointers, if you will, to our Creator and Redeemer and Sanctifier, to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, to one God who we experience in all sorts of ways, who at the root of it all loves each of us and delights in every one of us beyond what we can ever imagine. How could that be, that God would delight in you and me and every one of us? It's a mystery. Amen.